I'm very sure you have an important life, but whatever you are doing, stop and pay attention. It's The Afternoon, a podcast with Brent and Robbie.
Welcome to the Afternooner Sports Podcast. I'm Robbie. With me, as always, is Brent.
Robbie, I think I want to enter an eating competition involving yogurt.
Sunday School Billy, do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
It sounds like it would be bad in so many different ways. Digestive system, mental health.
I think I'd be good at it.
The health of your teeth.
Wait, my teeth?
I feel like, isn't yogurt really, what kind of yogurt are you talking about?
Greek yogurt. Oh. Regular yogurt, whatever you got.
I mean, all yogurt has sugar in it, right?
Well, yeah, but it's like, I don't think the eating competition is over years. It's just like one day.
Yeah, but an entire day where there's just yogurt, sugar sticking on your teeth.
Do you think it takes 24 hours to do an eating competition?
You just said it's going to be a whole day.
I was going to ask, do you think your yogurt eating ability is going to be maximized by
speed?
How much, by speed?
I think it's speed.
Or is it volume?
I mean, I'm a smaller guy, so I assume my stomach is smaller too. But maybe stuff moves through me really quick. I don't know.
So let's say, hypothetically, that the yogurt eating contest is done with Go-Gurt tubes.
I love Go-Gurt.
So it's, yes, which, as you should.
Candy.
No,
Go-Gurt's candy.
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there and not let you say another bad thing about Go-Gurt. Because let me tell you something. My wife saw me, I kind of... Like she walked into the kitchen and it was as though I was on pornography because she walked in and I was eating a Go-Gurt like by the fridge door so no one would see me doing this and she's like, it's not good for you, and I'm like, we get it for the kids, and she's like, I know, but it's kid, and so she's like, you should just eat regular yogurt,
full fat.
Understand that regular yogurt would cost less because of packaging. Like, part of it is Go-Gurt packaging you're paying for. That part I get. We looked it up. Go-Gurt has less sugar in it than just her Yoplait yogurt.
Sure.
Less sugar.
That doesn't surprise me. What would your technique be for eating a Go-Gurt? Would it be...
I'm fine with Greek yogurt, though.
No,
but I'm going there.
I just think there's two ways to eat Go-Gurt. You either have your mouth on the end of it...
You're shotgunning it.
And you're pushing the yogurt up into your mouth.
The problem is, I think we've all been there where we're eating a Go-Gurt and you do that and it flips out of your mouth and
you're disqualified. Billy, can you Google competitive eating, comma, yogurt and just see what comes back? Is there a competition we can enter Brent in, and what are the parameters? What does he need to train for?
I think I'd be good at applesauce too.
You're going to be a great 85-year-old man in the senior citizen home.
Robbie, is that comma important? Is that going to help the search engine?
I mean, you could use and, whichever you prefer, Billy. Hey, so while you're Googling that, Billy, we had to be led into the Dwayne Memorial Studio tonight by the Night Watchman, Austin. He said, I'll let you in if you give me a shout out on the podcast, which I was going to do. But Billy said he's probably not going to listen anyway, so we don't need to give him a shout out. So no shout out. Per Sunday School Billy's orders for Night Watchman Austin.
I believe after I said that, Brent said, that's why we're not doing it.
And that's why I didn't give him a shout out.
There's nothing about competitive yogurt.
Nothing about competitive. So we could just start one.
The Afternooner could sponsor first competitive eating yogurt competition.
But what if we do it reasonable? So a reasonable eating competition would be this. You have a set amount that you eat. And then it's about speed. So you're not getting sick. Like, it's a large amount, but it's not eat till you get sick. And then it's speed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
So like one of those big tubs. Is that too much? Like one of those big tubs of Greek yogurt.
Like a half gallon?
Yeah, I think it's about a half gallon.
Like, it was the same thing that's going to happen when if you drink a whole gallon of milk. You know, that's not good for you. People throw up.
Yeah, but that's, you throw up. It's not like you die. I'm just saying I think I'd be good at it. I'm not saying I'd win. I don't know. I'm not good at a lot of things. I think eating Greek yogurt too fast is one of them. Billy, you mentioned it'd be bad for my teeth.
Well, because of the sugar.
I was...
I just think it'd be sitting there a whole lot. You know, like you're not supposed to sip soda, right?
It makes me think, though, of this summer I had a run-in with an orthodontist. and
like an altercation?
No.
No, you're when you were rifling through his wallet, you just happened to find his business card?
He was very friendly, but I kind of think of orthodontists the way I think of mechanics and lawyers, and that they're kind of, like, if you don't watch them, they'll steal your stuff, right? They're just...
Yeah.
You know, it, like, you don't trust them.
Any after-gooners out there, if you're an orthodontist, call us. 517-798-6187.
So, Brent, I have a similar story to that. Or do you have more?
I was just going to say, I ran into the orthodontist, and I was talking to him about all these kids needing braces, and I brought up the fact that my wife didn't have braces, and then I didn't have braces, and we were excited about that, and he said, actually...
Actually?
He said, the gene for your jaw and the gene for your teeth don't... Then the jaw size and teeth size aren't on the same gene. So if you get your kids can get one jaw and one set of teeth from each parent, which means just because you have two parents who don't get braces, if they get the wrong mix of teeth and jaw, they're going to need braces. And he's basically ruined the last 6 months of my life. That's all I think about. And Greek yogurt.
Do you think your children will need braces?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Just from what it looks like?
Just the fatalist.
So I had,
that's
I
the
had,
Greek yogurt in me.
I had braces for...
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you.
I had braces for 5 years, and it was pretty miserable.
Smile.
How old are you?
They worked. How old are you?
Yeah. I remember having them until I was like a sophomore. I think I got them off my sophomore year of high school.
And that's when the Billy Stone we knew.
That's when I started to shine. That's right.
When you started moonwalking in the end zone after touchdowns.
Well, I remember there was a time when I was I didn't kiss a girl because I was self-conscious about my braces.
What were the insults for braces?
Well, I don't remember.
I'm just curious if they've changed.
I don't know.
Metal mouth.
I mean,
train tracks.
Tonsil tongue? Is that a...
Tonsil tongue. Neither one of those words have to do with braces. I think that would be like a bad kisser.
Yeah.
Tonsil tongue.
I think tonsil hockey is a
phrase for making out.
Maybe I got that mixed up with, I'm not sure. I don't know where it came from. And I'm just going to sit here quietly for the rest of the show.
So my old dentist is retired. But a few years ago, I was eating, and I wasn't eating anything hard, but I felt something in the back of my mouth, and I reached back with my tongue, and it felt like I had food stuck in between my teeth. So I go home, and I can't get it out. I go home, I'm like, all right, I'll get this out when I get home, and I look, and I've chipped one of my wisdom teeth, because I still had my wisdom teeth at this point.
How rare.
So I go into my dentist, and I say, Dr. Dentist, I'm really tired of this. Like, you've had to do a lot of work on my wisdom teeth. Like, they're really sore. I sleep with a bite guard. And I said, I just would like to get these taken out. They're just more hassle than they're worth. And rather than him saying, okay, I'll get you scheduled for that, he said, now hold on a second. Let me take a look at it. And after looking at it, he said, I can repair that. We can fix that tooth. You don't need to get rid of these. He even went on to say, you don't want to get rid of these because of the biting power that you're going to lose.
Biting power?
At which point I really dug my heels in. But we went back and forth for probably 5 or 10 minutes about the pros and cons of me getting my wisdom teeth removed.
What did he mean about bite power?
So leverage, right? Like, because your wisdom teeth are in the back of your mouth, closest to where the hinge is, that's where you're able to get your strongest leverage on things that you're chewing, like unbreakable jawbreakers, I suppose.
Like, what are you like chewing glass?
I don't. Yeah. I made it very clear that I didn't care about the biting power that those four wisdom teeth were giving me. But man, when they pulled those honkers out, they are huge. The roots on those are like tickling my brain. They were.
They. This is not orthodontals related, but The Atlantic had a great essay on dentist a few months ago. And they just went through case after case of dentists overbilling and overprescribing conditions. Like what's when you get crowns? So they had dentists that would, you know, prescribe, hey, you need to get your crowns done or whatever that means.
Yeah.
Or root canals.
Sure.
And then they would, because it's an expensive procedure, and then they schedule another one. And then like, oh, it didn't work. You have to get it done again, or we have to fix it. And there's all this maintenance with root canals. And they had other groups of dentists review these cases, and they're like, yeah, this shouldn't have happened. This was not necessary.
So this is like the car mechanic thing.
Kind of, because they say, they're like, hey, dentists aren't getting rich. You know, they go to dental school, you start buy a practice, you've got all this debt from dental school, and you're not going to pay off all that debt by filling cavities.
Which is, so I have a counter story of that. Annie's cousin, so my cousin, Nate, is a pediatric dentist in Kalamazoo, and he gives all of the kids in the family free pediatric dental visits. So he bills insurance, but then anything that's left over, he just waives the bill. And I just think that's very generous of
him.
That's
nice.
And we take Flora there pretty regularly, and he just seems
for her fluoride treatment.
I don't know. What do they do with kids? They make them bite into those foam things, and the foam's all.
No, I don't think they do the foam things anymore.
What do they do?
Not, fluoride you just now get on a little electric toothbrush.
Hmm. Any pediatric dentistry stories, Robbie?
No, I just hate paying for dental insurance. I think it's pretty unnecessary. If Brent punches me in the face right now and my face and 50, gets all 50, mangled,
50-50.
My health insurance is going to cover that procedure to fix my teeth.
I'm sorry. What do you mean you think dental insurance is unnecessary, though? Like regular checkups and cavity fillings and things like that?
Our strategy is we get dental insurance like every other year and get the checkups every other year. I think until I got married, I never had dental insurance. I've also only had 4 cavities. 3 of them as a child. I did get my wisdom teeth removed. It's the only time I've been anesthetized. Am I saying that correctly? Anesthetized?
It's pronounced tonsil tongue.
So no braces for your kids, Robbie?
We're going to try to avoid that at all costs.
By doing it yourself?
At home dentistry care.
Actually, you joke about that, but there's a new company that's trying to cut into the orthodontist business. They're saying, hey, we send you this thing. It's like a retainer of some kind that's supposed to be just as good as braces at about 30% of the cost. The kids wear it, and they can only wear it at night, and then they don't need braces.
Who's doing that right now, though? That you're really experimenting with your kids' health there, right?
With their health or just their teeth?
Like, okay. Just, I mean, I guess part of your
braces,
body.
Are braces for health reasons or are they for vanity reasons?
I don't know. I think there are legitimate reasons for braces for health reasons. Yes,
I think there are, but I would argue that in most cases it's because people want straight teeth. Because the dental hygienist or dental assistant will ask, "Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about your smile? 10
really?
Being perfect, and 1 being, you know, I hate my smile." That's exactly how they phrase it.
Have you been asked that question?
Yes.
How do you answer?
Do you feel like when they're asking, like if you and your wife.
I don't go back to that dentist anymore.
If you and your wife are going out to dinner and she says, she walks out in a new dress and you say to her, on a scale of 1 to 10, how smart do you think it is to wear that dress? Like, she already knows that there's something wrong that you believe about her dress. Is the dental hygienist just asking you that? Or is it at. I've never been asked that.
The way the question was asked, it felt like if I said I did not feel good about my smile, that I was going to be presented with ways that we could make you feel better about your smile.
Well, maybe she just wants to know. So let's role play. I'll be the dental hygienist. Robbie, great visits. No cavities today. The dentist is going to come in just a few minutes. We did notice some gaps in your teeth. Let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about your smile?
10. I still have great chewing power. It's all that matters. I don't care if they're yellow and crooked.
You have the bite force of a Tasmanian devil.
Now, how about this, Robbie? You're a grown adult.
Wait. Are you the dental hygienist?
He's the dentist. The orthodontist is coming. So, Mr. Bolton, you know my assistant. She was.
It's Dr. Bolton.
She's not offended.
DDS.
She's not offended, but she's not going to be your hygienist anymore. I would like to, you know, after looking at your X-rays, I've noticed some troublesome gaps in your teeth. Now, from a visual perspective, these are fine. They're not too noticeable. But from a health perspective, I'm a little concerned that they will actually cause you to be prone to infection later in life that could lead to some pretty gnarly illnesses. So I'm a little concerned for your health. And I'm actually going to advise that you wear this lightweight set of braces that we have for the next 8 to 12 months.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say no. Just go ahead and pull them all now and give me the dentures.
How about another role play?
I'll be the dentist. Hold on. I'm going to have my partner come in here and talk with you.
Who's the part? What's the partner's
it's
name?
Dr. Van Thorpenwager.
My colleague here is having a joke. It's Dr. Van Swearingen, Dr. Marmaduke Van Swearingen.
Oh, no. Dr. B.
Let me ask you a question, Robbie. Do you think you need braces?
I don't need braces.
Okay, I'm asking you a question. Do you believe that you need braces?
Dr. Van Swearingen, I just told you I do not need braces.
Okay, well, here's
so
the thing.
Would you think here's that I believe that? Did I sound like I believed it?
Here's the thing. I think you do need braces, and I'm not asking. We're giving you braces. Tie them down.
So let me tell you, two dental trips ago, my wife had said, he was getting on me because I don't think I'd went for a couple of years. She's like, please go, please go, please go. My wife is faithful in flossing every day.
Yes, me too.
Every day.
The trifecta, mouthwash, floss, brushing.
I usually just go for one of those a day. So... So, as much to my wife,
but he mixes it up.
Yeah, so some days I floss, some days I mouthwash, some days I brush teeth. So my wife's like, "Please go, please go." So I go to the dentist. He checks all the teeth, gives me a cleaning, says, "Hey, no cavities. Everything looks great." My wife goes to the dentist. She flosses every day. She comes back with 3 cavities, and she was so angry at me because I didn't put as much effort into my dental care as she did, and I still came out with less cavities.
Yeah, I think it has to do like bacteria in your mouth, like what kind of bacteria you have in your mouth.
I mean, it's just genetics, right? To some degree, it's just genetic.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And the other degree, I always keep good bacteria in my mouth.
So racing expert Eric Shaw went to a dentist. They gave him...
Just to clarify, car racing expert, not cycling racing expert.
I actually would like to declare him a cycling racing expert as well. We don't have any... on the podcast, and we might need one sometime.
Well, I thought after our couple of cycling episodes that just we were the sort of dual cycling experts.
It's true. I'd like to bring Eric
much
in
like
as well.
A bicycle is known for having 2 wheels,
or it's a built for 2, in which case it has still 2 wheels.
So really, we're the cycling tandem.
What
experts.
A nice tandem!
That is
but
fun.
I'd like to have Eric in the sidecar.
Sure,
bicycles have sidecars, don't they?
They can. If not, they should.
So he went to a he went to a dentist. Said he had 13 cavities. This is not a joke. 13 cavities.
Do we even have 13 teeth in our mouth?
Some of us do. And then
some of
us
who believe in the value of a visit to the dentist.
He went
office.
To another dentist, and the other dentist said, "You do have cavities. You have 3." There's a 10 cavity difference there.
That's the whole point of
exactly,
the Atlantic essay.
Yes.
Is that's a wide. There's a wide variance.
You need to be getting
it's
second
thing,
opinions.
It's one thing if one dentist says 6 and the other says 7. 3 to 13.
Yes.
So though my previous dentist, who's now retired, and I would still be going to him.
Is this Dr. Van Swearingen?
Maybe related to him. Though he recommended I keep my wisdom teeth, and I did not agree with that recommendation. Prior to that, he had always been very conservative. And he, rather than say, "Oh, there's a spot there, we got to fill that in," a lot of times it was like, "There's a little bit of something on, you know, tooth A13. I want to keep my eye on that in case for next time." So it was he was very conservative and reserved, which I appreciated.
I wonder if he was just, you know, if
playing
our doctors,
the long game.
Well, if doctors ever get excited when they see medical freaks, and he's just like, "I never see people who have a chance at keeping their wisdom teeth. You are my white whale."
So the NBA has been in the news a lot this last week, and I know we're a sports podcast, but we don't talk about sports a lot. But this
How
is
dare you?
We don't. I'm sorry. Did that hurt your feelings?
What hurt my feelings? You guys never gave one supportive remark about a Greek yogurt eating competition. Not one supportive remark.
We did. I said the Afternooner could sponsor the competition. How is that not supportive?
I think you could
do
well,
Brent. How do you not feel supportive?
I think you could do well, Brent.
I would still rather have a Go-Gurt.
I'm happy to do a Go-Gurt competition.
All right. It sounds great, Brent. I'll be there.
So this past week, the NBA, big kerfuffle. They were in China doing some preseason games, and NBA general manager for the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, sends out a tweet about the protest in Hong Kong. For those of you who don't know, the Hong Kong protesters are pushing back. It's gotten violent. I think a little violent on both sides, but they're pushing back because China wants to add these extradition laws to extradite anybody who's committed a crime from Hong Kong into China. Now, Hong Kong is, I mean, can we say a democratic country?
Yes, right? Because was under the British Empire for 100 years.
98 years.
And that was after the Opium Wars, am I correct? When the British took Hong Kong as kind of the booty of the war?
By took, it was sort of like leased, right?
Yeah. I think it was a treaty agreement.
They knew in 1990, they knew for like 100 years that they were going to give it up in 1999.
1997. Pretty sure it was 97. Hong Kong went back into China's control. But during that 100 years, Hong Kong economically was very successful.
Yeah.
And China, for the most part, has just kind of let it be. And just gradually, I think they've been trying to exert more influence over Hong Kong and interfering more in Hong Kong. And most recently, this extradition law that China tried to pass that would require if someone committed a crime in China and fled to Hong Kong, China could extradite that person back, try them in Chinese court instead of trying them in Hong Kong courts. Now, I don't know a lot about this, but my understanding is China has been accused of maybe not allowing due process.
Oh, really? A repressive police state?
Of people going into the Chinese penal system and just disappearing. Never be heard from again.
Shocked to hear this.
So a lot of pro-democracy advocates and activists in Hong Kong have been protesting and pushing back. So,
and this has sort of opened up the door to other protests so that now there's independence protests as well. This has sort of been – it's like a coalition of protests now. Some about this bill, which I think has now been shelved. They're not going through with the bill. But now the door's sort of open with the protests of some calling for independence and maybe others not going as far.
So Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey tweets something late Friday night, I think about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, something pro Hong Kong, you know, supporting the protests in Hong Kong. Within 15 minutes, the owner, his boss of the Houston Rockets says—
What's his name, Robbie?
Tillman Fertitta.
Something like that. Special name.
Frittata.
It's Tillman Nelly Furtado.
I think that is the correct pronunciation. He replies on Twitter within 15 minutes that he does not speak for our team, the Houston Rockets. He does not speak
Daryl
for the
Morey
NBA.
Daryl Morey does not
Daryl speak. Daryl Morey, he's employee, says he does not speak for our behalf. Within maybe an hour or 2 hours, Daryl Morey deletes the tweet. But it's too late. The damage has been done. This is out there. The Chinese Basketball League denounces the Houston Rockets, said we are not going to televise any of their games in China anymore. We are not going to work with them because they had a good relationship. The Houston Rockets are the second most popular NBA team in China.
Largely because of Yao Ming.
Because of Yao Ming, who played for the Rockets in the late 90s, early 2000s, Chinese basketball figure. Tencent is the streaming media group in China, which owns the exclusive NBA streaming rights. I think that's a couple $100 million contract, maybe a couple $1 billion contract. I'm not sure. They said, we're not showing any Houston Rockets games this season. And there's a chance that China might outlaw them showing any NBA games. So we have Chinese Basketball Federation. We have this biggest streaming partner for the NBA saying they're not going to broadcast them. Chinese political officials are denouncing the NBA because one employee tweeted in support of the Hong Kong protest.
Well, a high-profile employee.
High-profile employee. The NBA kind of responded with an apolitical, quick response. We're apolitical. We're not taking a stance on this.
Well, do we have the tweets?
I mean, we can find the original NBA response. They released a couple because after the
NBA... I think
NBA's,
saying it was an apolitical tweet is being...
Is that might be a little generous.
Friendly to the NBA with what they...
I'm a company man.
Because that's exactly what's happened is that the NBA's response was pretty clear about supporting China here and not supporting Daryl Morey.
Because outside of the U.S., China is the biggest market for the NBA and they have big money contracts. And so here the NBA, and we can get more into this later. You want to get to the tweet? Sorry.
Yeah, the NBA issued its own statement later on Sunday saying it recognized that Morey's comments have deeply offended many of our friends and fans in China, which is regrettable. Quote, while Daryl has made it clear that his tweet does not represent the Rockets or the NBA, the values of the support, individuals educating themselves and sharing their views on matters important to them. We have great respect for the history and culture of China and hope that sports and the NBA can be used as a unifying force to bridge cultural divides and bring people together.
After this tweet, the NBA was brought really brought bipartisan groups together to denounce the NBA for saying they're selling out to China, selling out democracy and freedom of speech and expression to China just because it's going to cost them money if they don't.
Ted Cruz. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And Beto O'Rourke. We're all on the same page here.
Which doesn't happen in the States.
Does not happen very often. You really got to hand it to China. Thanks for bringing us together. Right. So the move here is an alarming one because the NBA so quickly kowtows to China. Now, perhaps this would be expected from giant corporations. This has happened before. I saw a story about how Gap had a T-shirt of a map of China, and it did not include Taiwan. China thinks Taiwan belongs to China. Taiwan believes it's the true China. China was the during the communist.
This is very interesting stuff. I actually really like this.
During the communist revolution, the Chiang Kai-shek and the leaders of China fled to Taiwan and said, "We are now the real China." Mao and the communists said, "No, we are China." So that's why, according to Taiwan, they're actually the Republic of China, whereas the communist China is the People's Republic of China. And so when Gap puts on a shirt that has a map of China, they made a political move by not including Taiwan. They then apologized for not including Taiwan in a shirt. This is what we're thinking in terms of corporations. Your God is mammon, your God is the dollar, and you're always bowing down to that. That's kind of what's expected out of these faceless multinational corporations. With the NBA, it's a bit different.
Yeah, the NBA has kind of proudly wore on its chest that it's the woke league. It's the most socially progressive league, the one that's going to say, we're going to step out and do the right thing. So when we have the Los Angeles Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, is recorded making racist remarks, they're going to say, we're going to get rid of him. They supported their players protesting, throwing their jerseys down before a playoff game, saying we don't want to play for this guy's team because he's a racist. But then they made moves to get rid of Donald Sterling. They kick him out of the league. They buy him out of the league. We have the All-Star Games going to be played in Charlotte a few years ago. The Charlotte legislature passed a law. I think it's a bathroom bill that man or woman, you can only use the bathroom bills. The NBA said we aren't in agreement with that. We don't think that's inclusive. We're not going to let you have our All-Star game. They took the All-Star game elsewhere.
After Trayvon Martin was killed, NBA players protested on the court. After Michael Brown's, the police officer who shot and killed Michael Brown, there was protests on the court. After, I think it's Eric Garner was his name, the I can't breathe guy, there were protests on that where guys wore shirts that said, I can't breathe. You have coaches like Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr who are regularly condemning Donald Trump and some of Donald Trump's policies. You have players speaking out on gun control, players speaking out on immigration.
NBA pro-gun control commercials,
yes.
PSAs.
Yes.
So the difference here is that it involves an international body and foreign money? Like, is that what, why
well,
is this
so,
different?
Well, it's different because the marketing, the people, like if you went to a rally of Trump voters and said, how many of you, the NBA is your favorite sport, I think you're going to get a spattering of applause.
Sure.
So every time the NBA or its players or its coaches were speaking out, it was going a certain direction.
It was on brand for the NBA in the United States to make those decisions.
So the NBA has been able to be woke because it
was actually a good marketing decision.
It coincides with them bowing down to mammon.
Exactly. Yes, that's the thing we're now discovering,
sure.
Is it's not them having a social conscience. It's just that would actually result in more revenue. Because that's become clear after China with the speed, the velocity in which the NBA hit the ground to its knees in order to appease China. So last year we had a Turkish player named Enes Kanter. And Enes Kanter, in a really bizarre story, is his family in Turkey has had to denounce him because Erdogan, the authoritarian leader of Turkey, has been criticized by Kanter. And so his family denounces him in order to protect themselves. I think Kanter understands that. There is a game in London that Kanter said, I'm not going to that game in London because I don't think I can be protected. The Turkish government would not allow any Trailblazers game the entire year. The NBA stood behind Cantor. So this seems like a really noble thing.
Yeah.
What we're finding is that it's only because there's not enough revenue produced in Turkey.
Sure.
Because the NBA turns around and doesn't support Daryl Morey, who makes a much more innocuous statement.
Sure.
I mean, whether Cantor, I mean, Erdogan seems like a monster, so it's not hard to get behind Cantor's side.
Sure.
But the speed in which the NBA has condemned any of this shows that this is really all about money.
Yeah.
So the Billy, I don't know if you want to look this up. The NBA had a longer statement they released a few days later after politicians from both sides of the aisle came together to condemn the NBA's response, where they tried to downplay it, and they tried to say, hey, we're not going to prohibit our players or our employees from saying anything they want. But, and you brought this to my attention, Brent, the NBA, or maybe it was in China, they were playing these preseason games, and some fans were showing up with...
No, these were preseason games. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, yeah, some were in these Chinese-hosted preseason games in Shanghai and Beijing, and fans were being confiscated their protest Hong Kong signs. But there's preseason games held in the United States in NBA arenas, again, in the United States, where fans were holding up, we support Hong Kong.
Free Hong Kong.
Free Hong Kong. Google Uyghurs.
Yes,
yeah, so which is a minority group, often oppressed, discriminated against.
Currently oppressed.
Yes, it's like, let's talk about that one for a second. So again, there are protests now. I mean, these aren't protests. These are, I guess stunt is a pejorative term. You've got these fans who now with these preseason games are holding up signs. These are small signs. So in one game, three guys held up a sign. The sign was the size of a piece of paper. It was only the size of a piece of paper. And it just said, Google Uyghur. And they record an NBA official, or at least a team official, coming over and saying, put the sign down. We don't do political signs. So the guy says, this is not a political sign. It's how is Google Uyghur? I'm telling you to look up a people group. Google it. Because who are the Uyghurs? And it's not... It's certainly not said the way it's spelled in English. It's like U-I-G-Y-A-R.
Y-R-S, yeah, something like that.
But Uyghurs are a Muslim minority in China.
It's in western side of China.
And they are in basically internment at best versus concentration camp at worst. Stories of them having their organs harvested,
yeah,
of them being executed, and then at best being re-educated. I mean, we're talking about Cambodia, North Vietnamese sort of re-education camps going on because they're Muslim. So when a fan holds up Google Uyghur, that's seen as a political sign.
And so if you didn't catch this, this was in an NBA arena in the United States, in Washington, D.C.
That was actually in Philadelphia.
Oh, was that Philadelphia?
Which was our first capital when we fought against the British, when we said, you are not allowing us free assembly, free expression,
so
things like this.
It's three males, and they're wearing Free Hong Kong shirts. And yeah, the sign is an 8x11 yellow sign that literally just says Google Uyghurs.
So I don't know if you found the second statement for the NBA, Billy. It's fine if you didn't.
Is it from Adam Silver?
Yes, Adam Silver. And the NBA more or less came out and said, hey, no, our first statement, if we weren't clear, which you weren't clear because the NBA released a statement also in Chinese and Mandarin, and the New York Times translated and said, this one's a heck of a lot more apologetic than the English statement. But the NBA, in this longer statement from Adam Silver, yeah, tried to say, hey, we're not going to restrict freedom of speech,
sure,
of our players and employees, but then confiscate signs from fans, not employees, not players, from fans with Google Uyghurs on them in the United States. That's not in a Chinese arena.
And I think this we should step backwards and take the NBA's first statement, which is, and Billy, I don't know if you still have it there, but it's something like offend the Chinese people.
Yes.
What does that mean? Who is actually being offended?
Well, this statement offended a lot of our fans in China.
This is about the Chinese government.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, it is.
Do the fans care? Do most of the NBA fans really care? Or only ones that work for the party in China are going to be upset about this or need to make an appearance that they're upset about this.
So Adam Silver's newest statement is, it is inevitable that people around the world, including from America and China, will have different viewpoints over different issues. It is not the role of the NBA to adjudicate those differences. However, the NBA will not put itself in a position of regulating what players, employees, and team owners say or will not say on these issues. We simply could not operate that way. I want this to be clear, and I think there's some confusion around this. We are not apologizing for Daryl exercising his freedom of expression. Yeah, it goes on.
Okay, this is patently untrue, though.
Yeah.
Because we have... So here's become the new NBA line, is from owner, general manager, as well as players.
To even outspoken coaches like, as you mentioned, Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich.
Yes, the new line is, this is a really complicated issue. I don't know how to speak into it.
I don't know enough about it. I need to educate myself before I can really have an opinion here.
This is what's fantastic. So
sure, kick the can down the road, right?
Well, so you have a repressive communist government, hyper-surveillance in a police state, forced abortions, no freedom of assembly, no freedom of religion, current concentration camps where a minority is at best being re-educated and at worst having organs harvested and being murdered, and the statement is, it's too complicated.
And so your point is, with so many players, officials, and coaches saying kind of the same thing, it's hard to believe that the NBA didn't issue some kind of talking points or coach or just say, don't make any comment on this at all, or there's going to be a fine.
Theoretically, it might be coming from their own...
their owner?
Well, no, possibly. Or they're just themselves realizing they don't want to lose any money.
Because a lot of players... they go on kind of these barnstorming tours with their shoe company, Nike, Reebok, Converse, whatever. They go through Asia and get paid a ton of money, and they sell a lot of shoes. Some players even have contracts with Chinese shoe companies.
Yes, so James Harden was one of the first players to out and out apologize. And the reason for this is because James Harden is part of one of the most popular teams in China, and so he's trying to build a brand. Steph Curry, who has spoken about a host of American issues, when they put a microphone in front of his face, says, I don't know enough about it. So I'm begging an NBA reporter to look at Steph Curry and say, do you think it's okay that the Chinese government is murdering Muslim minorities? Yes or no? Because that wouldn't be an issue of like, well, you don't need to know. It's not complicated. The answer is no to that.
Yeah.
The NBA has a training camp in the city where one of these concentration camps are. Just to be clear, the NBA has a training camp facility in one of these cities. And this whole thing, we've talked about this for years, this whole thing goes to show when we talk about, like, you don't really know these people, right? Like, you encounter celebrities or sports celebrities, you don't actually know who the nice guy is. You don't know who the mean person is. You don't know who the snake in the grass is. And so all of these people who are putting forward this sense of like, oh, I'm going to speak truth to power in some sort of way, have all shown themselves to be complete moral hypocrites. Complete moral hypocrites. So when Steve Kerr was asked about it this week, his response was, well, no one's bringing up that we've got people with AR-15s in the United States, and there's just shootings going on. Like, whoa!
I would like to share the text you sent Billy and I earlier this week when you sent the link to that Kerr story. You said, come for the false equivalency Kerr makes, stay for Twitter's comments.
Yeah, the Twitter comments were fantastic.
They were great. It was great.
Because Twitter has actually been one of the few places that is calling the NBA out for what it's doing.
A place that's outlawed in China. No one can use Twitter in China.
And so simply ask Steve Kerr, do you think it's fair for a government to outlaw Twitter, or is that too complicated? Or if Trump says we should outlaw Twitter, like we made Trump's mascot last week, the Ophiocordyceps unilateralist. We're clearly no big fans of Trump here. Like, what is happening with the Kurds right now is an other kind of moral horror. But you're forcing us over to that side when you're showing yourselves to be these kind of hypocrites. And again, shows that, like, you don't know these players. Like, you think they're woke. They're not. You think they're progressive in some way. They're not. LeBron James and Steph Curry and James Harden, if those three guys actually spoke regularly about Uyghurs in China, so some money would obviously be lost by the NBA. But those guys actually have the power to change something, like just by like bringing it to attention, if not even forcing the NBA to get out of China, and that maybe forces China to relax some on the week. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's not the case. And,
sure.
But they have that much power.
They do have that power, but it's not just the sponsorship monies that these players would risk with their shoe deals. It's also the NBA salary cap is configured by how much
yes.
revenue the NBA makes. The players, by contractual agreement, get 51% of that revenue in their contracts, in their dollars. If all these players speak out and then China outlaws the NBA and the NBA loses those, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts, next year there's less money available for players to sign contracts.
Well, teams
this
are,
would hit all these players yeah, in their pocketbook on their next contract.
Teams are already preparing and talking about how they need to anticipate that their salary caps are 15% lower next year because of what's been happening with all the talks with China.
And this is not like, you know, Brent, we discussed bringing this up last week on the show when Billy wasn't here, but we wanted to wait till Billy was here because we know
thanks.
He loves the NBA, loves talking about the NBA.
I like the NBA. Well, and this is certainly worth talking about.
But I was worried. I'm like, this story's going to be gone. You know, the way the media cycle moves so quickly, this story's not went anywhere. It's still as front page as it was a week and a half ago, and it seems like it's going to be with us, I think, for most of this NBA season. Well, it's going to be this cloud hanging over the head of this NBA season.
And it's not just the NBA. I know I've talked with you guys about how this has hit the esports scene as well. So there's a big company based in California called Blizzard. They recently banned one of their best Hearthstone players. His name is Blitzchung, and he spoke out on a stream. So he won a tournament. They were interviewing him after the tournament. He was wearing a gas mask, and he said, "Free Hong Kong. It's the revolution of our times."
Wait, does he normally wear a gas mask?
Well, he's from Hong Kong originally.
But, so right, but like he normally
no, he wore it in the stream okay. as a way of like trying to, you know, protest or speak out or raise awareness. So in previous tournaments, players have been caught actually cheating in the tournament, and it's taken them, they either haven't been banned or it took them a year or 2 years or 3 years to ban. It was, I think, within 24 hours, and he was banned from the game for a year. Even though he had won the tournament, they said, "We're not paying you the $3,000 that was, you know, in the contract." And they also fired the two casters that were interviewing him after the thing. So the internet blew up, and this has actually been all over like news, all over Reddit, all over Twitter as well.
He's one of the top esports.
I think he's like the top three Hearthstone player, which is a digital trading card game.
He's one of the top three or four digital trading card game players in the world.
Well, specifically Hearthstone. There's several digital trading card games.
Solitaire being one of them.
Solitaire is
Spider Solitaire.
Number seven. Spider Solitaire is only 13th in popularity. Yeah, so I wanted to read a statement real quick because Blizzard walked back a little bit of it. And this was the line that everybody is still really upset about. Because clearly this is all about China. Blizzard is Tencent owns some of Blizzard and they have a ton of revenue coming from China. So as soon as this happened, they brought the hammer down because they still want to maintain that revenue.
If you didn't hear earlier, Tencent is the media company that owns the NBA streaming rights in China.
They own
and they
so
also,
much.
Tencent's a pretty big company.
Well, it's
in
a
China.
Communist nation. Yes. So there's
but
not,
is Tencent a state? Is that a state owned?
It's a communist nation. Like, what company isn't involved with the government in a communist nation?
It's involved by the government, but it's not necessarily a government company.
The government
it's
controls
all the same.
Everything, man.
Yeah. It's all through the government. So the president of Blizzard, after they walked back some, they ended up giving him his money and they knocked his ban down to 6 months. But he says one of their company's values is thinking globally. So part of thinking globally, leading responsibly, and every voice matters, that's their three things, is recognizing that we have players and fans in almost every country in the world. Our goal is to help players connect in areas of commonality, like their passion for our games, and create a sense of shared community.
Oh my gosh.
The specific views expressed by Blitzchung were not a factor in the decision we made. I want to be clear. Our relationship with China had no influence on our decision. Which is just total garbage.
Of course.
It's just total garbage.
And that's one of the most offensive parts, right? He just won't even say, like, Adam Silver, Steph Curry would just come out and be like, "I'm not talking about this because I don't have enough money and I want more."
Yes.
I would find you to be morally despicable, but I would at least find you to be honest. You at least have one virtue. But now you just have cowardice. You're throwing cowardice in there. Like, Tolstoy wrote a short story called... How much land does a man need?
You call it a toll story.
Tolstoy. and in the story, I can't remember that he's like talking to some group of natives, and they say you can have as much land as you want, but you have to like make, you will walk the area that you're taking, and you have to get back to the spot, like complete the square, and you can have all that land.
Sure.
And it's a moral fable, right? So he takes this huge route, and the sun is going down. He's got to get back by the sun time sun comes down, and now he realizes he's got to sprint. And he's got to sprint to like close off the circle or the square so he can have the land. And he drops dead from a heart attack before he finishes the square. And of course, he could have had so much if he didn't just become greedy by trying to take even more.
Yeah.
This, like, how much land do these people need?
Yeah.
I would more understand the NBA journeyman at the end of the bench not wanting to talk about it versus these guys who are wealthy to a degree that we can't even understand.
Yeah.
The owners as well. You already have so much money. And it's not even a publicly owned corporation where you have to worry about, you know, stockholders and you have to keep increasing and increasing. You don't actually have to. You could make that money elsewhere. They were involved in China, Robbie, but they were also doing a world tour in India. I'm not saying the Indian government is perfect, but it's certainly a whole lot better than China.
Sure.
So you're at a point where this company, Blizzard, the NBA, has such spinelessness that they can't speak out against something, which would be the most basic thing. And the reason I brought up Twitter before is because with the Twitter comments is because now your big media companies won't speak out about this either. So The Ringer, which, you know, we spent some time on The Ringer, but The Ringer is owned by HBO. There's not been a lot on The Ringer that's been denouncing this. ESPN has revenue there.
Owned by
Disney will not denounce this. So I saw a clip of a short little, not interview, but a short little story on one of the ESPN news stories, and they showed a picture of China. And in the picture of China, so it was a graphic, and kind of like the Gap ad where Gap did not include Taiwan and had to apologize, the picture of China that ESPN used included the islands of the South China Sea. Which China is and Japan are fighting over.
Sure.
But in this image that ESPN used, they used all the islands on the South China Sea. There's no way that's a mistake. There's no way. So there. And South Park actually had an episode just before all of this really blew up. South Park had an episode about how all of these movies,
titled Banned in China, B-A-N-D.
Yeah.
About how all of these movies coming out, all of your favorite Marvel movies, like, if you needed evidence that they were generic, is that they have to pass muster in the ideology of a communist state. The communist state can't find anything threatening. You are making movies involving a guy named Captain America that has to be accepted by China, because if it's not accepted by China, Disney rewrites it.
So what was the movie where the guy gets stuck on Mars?
The Martian.
Oh. The Martian. So The Martian, yeah, with Matt Damon. It's a good movie. Very entertaining, but there is a plot issue where they need to get him more supplies so that he can live long enough for them to, you know, actually go and rescue him. And the people that come in to save the day is the Chinese government. And I read an article talking about how the whole reason that that was even in the story is just to guarantee that the Martian made it into China to be viewed there.
So I want to turn this conversation to what the afternooner can do about this and what all the aftergooners can do out there. And, you know, we have a pretty large reach in Mongolia. So
I mean, that's what our podcast analytics say.
So we might find ourselves getting in trouble, but we will speak out against a state of communist state of forced abortions and murdering minorities.
Well, just to be clear, I am fine talking about this, but I, as an individual, don't know enough about it to really.
You really got to understand the Boxer Rebellion and the Opium Wars before you can say anything about what's happening to the Uyghurs. Mm-hmm. I understand. So, listen, this is my question. We are clearly going to an NBA game this year, aren't we?
Yes.
And we are bringing signs, aren't we?
Yeah. How much is an NBA ticket these days?
So, here's what I was thinking. We can, no problem getting Pistons tickets. Here's what I'm thinking. The different strategies. I also think it would be
Pistons,
funny.
Pistons Rockets?
If we show up and we've got three signs, we're holding three signs. One says Google Elizabeth Warren. The other one says Google Colin Kaepernick. And then the third one says Google Uyghurs.
Which one gets confiscated?
Well, do any of them get confiscated? Because, or like, what if we hold up an American flag? One of us holds up a small American flag.
Sure.
But the other one holds up
a Hong Kong flag. You're saying a large variety of political-esque symbols
and
or
Billy
statements
gets
or something.
Hold a Tibetan flag.
Oh, that's... I don't.
We didn't even get to that.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Tibet.
I don't know about Tibet.
Well, Tibet's another oppressed place within
sure.
China.
Oh, sure.
So... if we're holding a Hong Kong flag next to an American flag, and they make us take down the Hong Kong flag, do they also make us take down the U.S. flag?
Sure.
That's like I think what? We should go
or
find
do,
out.
Do we hold a Chinese flag also?
Because then we're just asking the question.
Well, I think we just drop the Chinese flag. We don't. We bring up the Chinese flag only when they come for the Hong Kong flag.
And we're like, oh, we're sorry, we're sorry.
But what if we do this at a drive game? Do you think the drive care, the Grand Rapids... we went to a Grand Rapids drive with media
they're,
passes.
They're going to take our media credentials away, I think.
There's nothing greater I can think of if we get our media credentials removed because we have a Hong Kong flag. I think... look, we have some aftergooners that live out in Grand Rapids. If you go to a Grand Rapids drive game, pay for your tickets, the afternooner will reimburse you the cost of your ticket. If you hold up a Google Uyghur or a pro-Hong Kong or anything of that sort, sign. I'm not asking you guys first. Are you cool with these?
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Okay. But I would like us to go to a Piston game.
I would too.
But if an aftergooner does this at a Grand Rapids drive game, or you know, if you're in Indiana, a Fort Wayne Mad Ants game, make sure you get a picture or a video of this so you can share this with us.
Are you comfortable, Robbie, doing this at a Pistons game?
Yeah, well, one, even though the Pistons aren't going to be very good, I still think tickets to get close enough to the court where we might get the attention, where we might actually be in the purview of TV cameras. Because I think if we're in the third bowl, up in the cheap seats, a security guard's not coming and taking our signs.
So is there any way we could do a fundraiser for us to get expensive Piston tickets?
So we could do a fundraiser to raise money for children with cancer.
Or
we could raise money for us to get better seats at a Pistons game.
We could do both. I mean, you don't have to choose. Help us get to that Pistons game, as well as help us cure childhood cancer.
Thanks for listening to the Afternoon of Sports podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Tweet at us at the Afternooner. Until next time.
So long.
Bye.